good afternoon, good night, ladies and gentlemen. That used to be a famous radio call from an old radio host, I believe. And then they made a movie called George Clooney made that movie. Good afternoon, good. Yeah, it was a black and white film that he was in. It was a pretty good movie about radio and stuff. And I'm just completely paraphrasing, but there was a movie. But I don't know. I just have an interest. That's what I went with. But nice. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast, man. Episode 312. It's like I was thinking about that today. I was like, man, we're already 12 weeks away from 300th episode. It seems like we did that just yesterday. But it is September already, so I guess it has been a couple months since that episode, which was a lot of fun to do. Quite an epic episode. And as we march towards it, who knows if we'll make it to 400. We'll see. But this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
Long.
Long. So enthusiastic.
Long.
But he's like, yeah, I'm here. Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah. How are you guys having?
I'm trying not to fall asleep while doing this too.
Oh well, don't fall asleep, man.
Yeah, don't
fall asleep. If you hear me like any weird snoring, blame Matt.
Oh yeah,
Matt's usually the one that's falling asleep on the show over there, nodding his head and zoning off.
Yeah, I usually make it towards the end at least, though. Whenever I do that.
It's funny, man. I can be super tired, and I'm still usually won't zone out. Not if I'm doing something that like this, or I'm focused on something. Now, what usually happens is when we're done and we say goodnight to each other, then I'm usually out within minutes.
Yeah, man. It's we record late, and sometimes those days are long before the show, so we all do our best to stay focused and. You know, and bring the passion, you know, so there's that, man. So, it's $3 cinema day Saturday. I'm thinking of going to see Jaws. And I'm thinking, thinking of going to see Jaws tomorrow in 3D. I'd have to bring all the kids. So I'm not completely sold on it, but the theater was wide open, 4 o'clock, every seat's available for Jaws 3D. I'm surprised it wasn't like halfway gone.
Yeah, it is National Cinema Day tomorrow. A lot of theaters are having $3 shows and stuff like that. And I thought about taking the kids to see Super Pets, but I don't know. I just feel like I need to just keep working and focus on what I need to do at home. So we'll see if I decide to do that or not.
Yeah, man. And it would be, you know, I think it would be cool to see Jaws since they're re-releasing it. I mean, it's the original blockbuster, you know, defined the term blockbuster. And, you know, my mom always brags that she saw it in theaters and I'd be like, oh, I saw it in theaters too.
And yeah, I saw it on XD a few years ago on the 40th anniversary.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah, it's always fun to see other people's reaction to the film, especially like the younger audience members who's never seen the film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah. Because I think it's rated R, but I don't think it holds up as an R-rated movie. It's more like a 13, I guess, you know? Yeah. I think there's a slight boob scene in there, but it's so quick. I don't think you can really tell. You know what I'm talking about at the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the HD. I remember watching it on VHS. It was blurry as hell, you know, but thanks to digital technology.
Oh, yeah.
I know what you're referencing.
Yeah. Digital technology. Yep.
Remasters.
I don't know if anything new came out in theaters this week other than Super Pets, I think, came out last week. So, I don't know. I think this is one of those off weeks where you have those random movies that get released. And I know they put Spider-Man No Way Home back in theaters. They put Top Gun Maverick back in theaters. And I want to say they put something else back. I can't put my finger on it just yet.
Your mom.
They put your mom back in theaters. Man, I got a Cinemark gift card, but it's It's one of those part cinema party gift cards. So I can only use it if I'm booking a party room from them. And so it doesn't help at all. I couldn't redeem it online. Yeah.
That's weird.
I need to try and redeem it there, I guess. But I got it online and it won't let me redeem it online because the Cinemark app, there's no way to, I guess, put it in there or something. I don't know. So we'll see. I'm going to try and redeem that so I can, you know, even if I take four kids, it's like, it's $15. You know, you can't beat that. It's just a little more than one ticket. But yeah. So, download this, where we talk about what we have seen and downloaded, watched, this week.
I'll go.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't realize Mark was away from keep. I was why is Matt holding the torch for a while here? I haven't heard any response from Mark. I'll go first. I saw She-Hulk. It was pretty good. Not as good as, well, I don't know. It's still working its way through, but I like how it resolved last week's episode.
How did you like the ending credit scene? Did you replay that over and over
again? Oh, it's a little cringe. Kind of cringe.
Yeah. When I watched it, I was like, oh my God, you know.
Dude, I saw this really funny TikTok or skit or some kind of video clip on Reddit, and it's like kind of making fun of woke Hollywood.
Yeah.
It was like James Bond is like a woke James Bond, right? And he's in a wheelchair and he's half retarded and he has a rainbow hair dye and wearing lipstick, and he's like, and then the supervillain's like, hey, you're James Bond? It's like, yes, I am James Bond. You know, and he's like, yeah, but you're in a wheelchair. What are you, an ableist? It's like, he's in the wheelchair. I can fight just as well as anyone here. Are you being a homophobe and all that stuff? And he's like,
what?
He was in a wheelchair and all that. No, there was this funny skit that was making fun of woke culture.
Yeah.
And it was like a James Bond in a wheelchair, and he had like rainbow hair, and he was like wearing lipstick, and he was, I think, Latino as well.
That's awesome.
And he's like, so it was like a wheelchair James Bond going into the room. He's like, stop your villainy. You know, and then, no, he's like, stop your villainy. I'm James Bond.
James Bond, man.
And then the villain's like, wait a minute, but how can you get here? You're like in a wheelchair and you can barely move around. And the woke James Bond's like, what? Are you an ableist? I have to find it. And I'll send the link. It's funny.
That's funny. Know,
It's making fun of both sides of the spectrum, because it's pretty hilarious.
I like that stuff, you know, where nothing's off limits, you know, and everybody gets roped in and fucking roasted. That's always when it's fun. That's old school, you know. I feel like we don't get that, you know, that often today, and I got to see what you're talking about, because that may rival the Beavis and Butthead white privilege scene from the Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe, where they start taking whatever food they want because they're white. They're told that they could do it without getting in trouble. He's like, we don't have consequences. But
yeah,
I don't know if you've seen it. You've not seen it?
No, I haven't.
It's
don't have Paramount Plus.
Very hilariously done. It's like the clip's floating around there. I mean, you could YouTube it, but just to see that one part. But it's still amazing that they were able to pull off that movie. In this year.
Yeah.
But you catch anything else, buddy?
No, I was just last week I was enjoying the patch content for FF14 and enjoyed that and just kept current with some of the anime I've been watching and I have an announcement to make.
Uh-oh.
This weekend I will try to watch Top Gun at home.
Oh man.
Yeah, and I'll let y'all know what I think of it next Friday.
Dude, if you want, you can watch it over here. I've got that sound system, man. The plane just flying right by you, man.
Yeah.
Let me know.
I'm going to watch it this Monday at home. Okay. I don't have to go anywhere.
I don't want to have to go anywhere. But hey, that's a good Labor Day thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
But,
for sure. Oh, man. It's available for purchase on Amazon's or other digital stores. So.
Oh, yeah. I almost prefer Amazon over Vudu right now.
And yeah,
because I've got all this Vudu, you know, stuff.
The HD on there is quick.
Yeah.
To come through. So, freaking, I guess they have the advantage of freaking owning 65% of the web services out there. So, I guess they get first dibs.
For real. I mean, I streamed it on Vudu, and the first time I watched it, no problem. You know, we were able to watch it all the way through. But then, like, I tried to watch it again, and, man, I had to switch to standard digital quality to get it to go. And I even hooked up my repeater, my Wi-Fi repeater, which I hadn't had to use in a while. But... that's something that I watched this week, last week. Did I do it last week? Man, I can't tell. I did watch it multiple times, so I probably did both. But Michael, take over long. You had anything else you downloaded?
No. That's about it.
Cool, man.
But I will watch Top Gun this weekend.
I'll hold you to it, baby. I'll hold you to it. Well, I also watched She-Hulk just like you. I like how they tied in, another MCU character. And I like how they broke the fourth wall and be like, hey, this isn't going to be one of those shows where we just, you know, talk about main characters, even though it's happened three times in a row. So I like the kind of the comedy aspect. It's, I think it's one of the better shows from this year. I like it much better than Ms. Marvel. I'd probably put it around Hawkeye. Like I enjoyed Hawkeye. I thought it was, campy, maybe a little campy, a little lighthearted, for me versus like 2008's Iron Man. I feel like we're kind of moving away from that. We're kind of making things a little bit more lighthearted. Not saying it's good or bad, just making an observation for me. It's just different, but you know, maybe they're just, you know, kind of moving that target audience to a younger audience. Maybe, there's always some marketing deal, you know, behind it, usually, but I'm enjoying it so far. And I like that there's no spoilers about it. We knew Abomination was going to be in this episode from the teaser of last week. And he looks different than the Abomination from the Incredible Hulk movie. I think his ears
more were, humanized.
Yeah, more sure. humanized. I think he was bigger in that other film. I don't know. But I like how he's just, you know, how they did him. I don't want to spoil the episode, but I like him in this episode. good to see him back. Another thing that I watched, I told my dad I was going to do a car movie, and he told me that I had to watch Crazy Mary, Dirty Larry. And
never heard of it.
And I think the only pop culture thing that mentions that movie is Grindhouse. They're talking about all these famous car movies. They mention that one. They mention Vanishing Point, and they mention Gone in 60 Seconds, the original. And so essentially this movie is, Peter Fonda, and he's got a partner, and they basically hold up this grocery store manager's wife and he as a hostage and get him to give them some money so that they can go buy a race car. And they end up, using the ransom money to buy a Challenger, a 1970s Challenger. And you've got cops involved. The cops, start chasing them, and they're outrunning the cops because they're in this badass vehicle. And then this mechanic's like working on one of the cops' vehicles, putting in a four-barrel carburetor, 440 Ford motor, and it's fucking badass, and they have at it, and it's just awesome. It knows what the point of it of its plot is. It's just cars and craziness and just chases, just motor rubber to the road, and loud engines, baby. That's it. It's a fun flick. I had to rent it. It's not streaming anywhere, but it was fun to watch. I'd probably watch it again. I may buy it eventually. Another thing that I watched, of course, is Rings of Power, but I think Mark watched that. So I'll let Mark talk about it. We'll hit on it whenever we cross that bridge. But that's it for me.
Yeah. What did I watch this week? A couple things. I watched, around to watch him. Huh?
Born.
No, well, that's a given. But I finally got around. I've been wanting to watch this all summer, and I finally got a Blu-ray copy of it because Amazon had it. And it's the documentary made by a local filmmaker about Nolan Ryan called Facing Nolan. And it is really good. One of the best sports documentaries I've ever seen. Really like it a lot.
Who produced it?
I'd have to look it up. It's definitely, if you grew up in Texas watching baseball, or if you like baseball, it's really well done. It follows his career and him being a family man and all the crazy records he broke in baseball, and just really solid. It's done kind of like an old Texas legend story. So definitely has the vibes for our state, and very much worth waiting to see it, because it came out, it debuted at South by Southwest back in March, and then it had limited theatrical runs and throughout the summer, and it was released on digital platforms, and they finally put out Blu-ray. And I didn't really want to buy it digitally because I wanted to have an actual copy of it, and they finally had Blu-rays of it on Amazon, and it showed up the other day, and I watched it, and it's really good. I mean, as an Astros fan, a baseball fan, highly recommend it. Even if you're not an Astros fan, just as a sports documentary fan, it's really well done. I liked it a lot. I watched that, and then I watched the first episode of House of the Dragon. That was pretty good, even though, why is Matt Smith keep getting cast in things? He's just not a very good actor. Is it because he's Doctor Who? He's like the weak link in the show. Every time he comes on screen, I'm like, he's terrible. He's really not a good actor. The rest of the show is really well acted. Then Matt Smith shows up on screen, you're like, he's just bad. Yeah.
Like, in what way? How is he bad?
He's just flat. He doesn't convey much emotion to me in the things he does acting. He just feels like
he's no Tywin Lannister, huh?
No, he feels like he's reading his lines. He's just real bland.
Like he's phoning it in or some shit.
Yeah. He's kind of phoned in, but overall the production of the show is cool. I didn't even finish Game of Thrones, so I don't really have any ties to it, but I figure I'd give this one a shot. And so far, I liked it. I haven't watched this. I tried to watch the second episode the other night, but the HBO Max servers were being annoying and wouldn't let me stream it. So I was like, whatever, I'll watch it later. And but yeah, then I only watched the first episode of Rings of Power because it didn't come on until 8 o'clock our time. So by the time I got the kids in bed and sat down, I only had time to watch the first episode last night. So I haven't watched both. This is a pretty cool show, man. It's I read people were complaining about the pace of it because it is a lot happens in the first episode. It's kind of paced kind of quick, but I don't really have a problem with the pace of it. I felt it was fine. You could definitely see where Amazon spent the money. I mean, it looks like a film, and it fits seamlessly. Yeah. I think with Peter Jackson's films, you know, it feels like it can be a part of that same. Same universe, because essentially it is, since it takes place 1,000 years before the Lord of the Rings films. But it starts out really well. It's really, really good stuff. I read people complain about the acting in it too, and I could see a little bit of that. Like, you know, but I think these are characters, you know, they're finding their niche. So I'm going to give them a shot. You know, it's only the first episode, you know. But I think it's good enough. But, man, I hope this makes it the whole 5 years like Amazon has planned, because it looks like it's going to tell a really bold and grand story. It was really good stuff the first episode. I'm hoping I can watch this. I'll definitely get the second one watched this weekend. You said you watched it too, Matt?
Yeah. Visually, I think it's great. I mean, it looks like a theatrical production. Acting, I think it, you know, there's some good parts and there's some bland parts, but I don't think I saw bad acting. You know, a little overwhelming parts. Yeah. But for the most part, I liked it. I thought some of the action was good. I liked the story so far. And I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, there's a bit of bland exposition in it. Maybe I could see that. Explaining some things, but it's forgivable. I also, you know, the Tolkien fans are all up in arms saying, oh, they're shitting on his writings and Galadriel would never have done this and that, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you know what? The dude's been dead for 50 years. It's okay to tell new stories. Get over it, people. You know? And it's just absolutely ridiculous that these hardcore fans would keep themselves from enjoying something because they felt it was
against the will of Tolkien. Grave.
It's like, no, I'm not saying piss on his grave, but no. these stories are put out there, you know, like Ian Fleming before he died, you know, he had given his blessing for MGM back in the 60s to, you know, go and take Bond and share him with the world. And that's what these characters should be, man. You created them to for people to enjoy. So it's okay to share stories and make new stories. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. And same thing George R. R. Martin did with Game of Thrones. He gave his notes for his final book and he gave HBO's blessing to end the show the way they see fit. And you know, he did make some suggestions about what he thought they should have done differently, but overall, Martin was fine with it. He said, hey, whatever, you know. And that's just the way you create these things to share with people. And the Tolkien estate obviously felt it was okay because they sold the rights to Amazon. They had one rule, and that was to not change the base idea of what the characters in the worlds were. And they haven't done that. So, you know, I don't know. It's a strange fan base, that hardcore Tolkien fan base. But hey, whatever. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I mean, I'm going to enjoy it for what it is. I've never read all the books or gotten hardcore into it. I just saw the movies, enjoyed them for what they were. And I'm going to enjoy this show. And like I said, hopefully in Amazon, it's successful and they're able to, because Amazon, even though they said they committed to 5 years, they said continued seasons do depend on how well this first one does. And they're advertising the shit out of it. It's advertising everywhere. So hopefully
you can't open. Yeah. You can't open your Amazon app to shop for.
Right. Without them advertising.
Yeah. Without the Rings of Power.
It's funny you said that. Cause I opened up my Amazon cause I had something delivered today and I opened up the app to see when the delivery was. And I thought I opened the wrong app at first. I was like, wait, what is this? I open YouTube. Yeah. It's like they're playing, started playing a video.
Yeah.
Man. But you know, it's a big investment for Amazon. So why would you not advertise the shit out of it? And good timing too, with House of the Dragon coming out, and the movie theaters are obviously kind of in a droll again right now. So people are staying home. School has started in the fall season. So hopefully people tune in and watch it, you know, and check it out.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Yeah, but good stuff. I do like the girls playing the young Galadriel. I think she's really good. You know,
I think so too.
She's kind of doing her own thing to it. She's not trying to be like actress's name's going to Cate Blanchett. She's not trying to be like Cate Blanchett, but yet, you know, she's doing her own thing, and I think that's good. You know, now I did feel the young Elrond was trying to maybe channel his young Hugo Weaving a little bit. He did feel kind of like that. The way he was standing real tall and proud, you could tell he was kind of trying to, but, you know, he's fine.
Yeah. So,
I think it's cool, you know, and, it, you know, they've already thrown out hints that there'll be other surprises throughout the show, possibly other young characters we'll see, you know, so we'll see how it goes.
Yep.
All right, well, let's get into today's feature film. Next week, season 5 of Cobra Kai hits, and last couple seasons of Cobra Kai, we had thrown out doing this film, and we just had not gotten to it. I guess other things came up. So, finally, I know Matt's been wanting to do this movie for a while. He's probably a bigger fan of this movie than even I might be.
But I was shocked how this movie fell under your radar.
Right? And that's how I'm going to let Matt summarize this film.
Yeah, so essentially you've got Ralph Macchio, and you know him and his mom, you know, move into another town, and he's a new kid, and man, he sees this girl that he likes, Allie, played by Elizabeth Shue, but she's got a guy that's, you know, kind of off and on with her, Johnny, who's played by William Zabka, and they don't necessarily see eye to eye. Now, there have been different dissenting views of who the bad guy is. Is it, you know, Ralph or is it Johnny? We'll let you decide. Let us know. But Ralph essentially gets mixed up into this in this love triangle, and him and Johnny get into a scuffle. He sucker punches Johnny, kind of does, but he's defending himself. And you know, they just beat the shit out of him, just kick him in the gut, you know, step on his dick, you know, and, you know, luckily he's saved by Mr. Miyagi, played by Pat Morita, and he teaches him how to defend himself, essentially, against Cobra Kai, the dojo in which these kids, this group, this gang, karate gang, learn from with Martin Cove as their teacher, and we get the tournament, and man, you're the best plays, you're the best around plays, one of the best 80s songs, probably a top 10 80s song, at least top 10, probably right behind Power of Love or something, but we get that, and of course Johnny wins despite, you know, the bad and dirty tactics of the Cobra Kai kids, and not, I mean, Daniel not wins. Not, yeah, Daniel wins. I'm sorry. Even though he threw the illegal kick, you know, because you can't throw a kick from that position.
Oh, come on now.
But, you know, technicalities, you know. And then, you know, Martin Cove, you know, he's just pushing these kids to just be the worst that they can be, you know, and just, they know they can, you can tell they know it's not right, but he pushes them to do it anyways. And then, he gets embarrassed at the end, and he goes away, and Daniel gets the respect and the trophy. Boom. This film did really well. I didn't realize, well, obviously it was a low budget, but I didn't realize how well it performed. If like 58 million.
Yeah, it's a lot for back then. Well, you know, it's a movie that million, it's very it's easily accessible, and it tells a classic underdog story. I mean, most people can relate to the movie. It came out at the right time. It was well reviewed. It played to that. It's definitely an 80s film for sure. I mean, it feels like an 80s film, plays like an 80s film. It's a movie that you watch and you wonder how it became a kind of a classic and things, but it's really hard to find a lot of flaws in this movie. It's a very enjoyable. The chemistry between Pat Morita and Ralph Macchio's characters makes the movie work quite well. You got that villain that you love to hate and root against. So all the elements are there. No telling when I first saw this movie. I mean, 84, it's something you kind of grew up with, seeing on TV and reruns on, you know, Saturday morning after the cartoons were over. You put on the movie channel, you saw Karate Kid. And I think
I actually saw this in the theaters.
Did you? Yeah, I mean, I might have. Who knows? You know, it's one of those movies that there's not one of us out there that hasn't tried to emulate the crane kick. I mean, you know, as a child, I mean, as a kid, who didn't do that, fighting with their siblings or whatever, you know, or who hasn't quoted sweep the leg. I mean, it's just one of those kind of movies that, I think that's why it is such a kind of a, I wouldn't say it's a cult classic. I'd just say it's a modern classic. And it went on to spawn a couple sequels. I actually like part two quite a bit. I think it's definitely much more of a character development movie. There's not a lot of fighting in part two, but I actually really like it. And the fact that Cobra Kai has come around, and we'll talk more about that a little bit, and tied part two into it all, it makes it even better. But I think Karate Kid works the most because of Mr. Miyagi and Daniel and their relationship. I mean, who can't relate to it, you know? And Pat Morita, you know, they, he's just, like, this is the role he was known for. I mean, he did a lot of movies, but this was his signature role.
He'll always be Mr. Miyagi. Yep. And yeah, I always remember Banzai. But I remember seeing this. I think it was on TV whenever I was a kid, and I just, yeah, it's one of those movies you caught like on TV all the time, so. You watch it at least once a year, you know, for like a decade. So I think if you grew up, you know, if you grew up as a 90s kid, you've at least seen this movie 10 times easily.
Yeah. Long some of your early Karate Kid memories, man. Come on now.
Yeah, as a kid, I really liked the film, and I really hated the bullies led by Johnny. I mean, now that I look back on it, Johnny didn't really do anything to Daniel to provoke such a strong reaction from him, besides getting his kicking Daniel's ass for stepping over his boundaries, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all he really did. And he pretty much left Daniel alone, right, until Halloween time. And then Daniel was trying to smoke his weed in peace. But anyhow, it's definitely the first time I've ever experienced an underdog film as well. They really rooted for Daniel. And it's just like how Miyagi just indirectly teaches Daniel how to defend himself by doing chores around. And then it all comes together in that scene, that famous scene about wax on, wax off, and, you know, up and down on the brush strokes. And I like how that tied itself together for Daniel. Yeah. The tournament scene, of course, fun to watch. When I first saw it, sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg.
And you see Johnny doesn't want to do it, but it's like, whatever, I'll give it a go. The old college try. Yeah. But yeah, that's my thoughts on it. It's definitely an unforgettable experience.
Yeah, and who hasn't washed their car and did the wax on, wax off thing when they're washing it? Who hasn't painted something in their house and did the paint thing? You know, and I think that's how this movie's been ingrained in pop culture. Who hasn't, like I said, who as a kid hasn't tried to do the flying or the crane kick? There was something else I was just thinking about too, from this movie. I just saw it a second ago. who hasn't tried to catch a fly with chopsticks? Come on, man. Everyone's tried it because they watched this movie. You know, right? Man, I was had some notes here about I was reading just the things that came from this film. There was this movie spawned a lot of underdog stories too. I mean, '80s were full of these kind of movies. I think Karate Kid is arguably the most successful of them. I mean, you had the Rocky franchise, some other underdog franchises, but Karate Kid was pretty successful, and a lot of people were watching. Strangely, William Zabka, Ralph Macchio, and Martin Cove are all friends in real life, even though they all kind of hate each other in this movie, you know, and have gone on to hate each other even more in the spinoff TV series everyone's watched the last few years. Zabka hung on to the red jacket that he had. A lot of people don't know, if you ever heard Pat Morita talk in real life too, he doesn't talk like Mr. Miyagi. And a lot of people in years after his movie came out were disappointed to find that out when they met him, that he just talked pretty normal English. You know, he didn't really have a heavy accent. It was like, something he did for the film. Yeah. The studio did not want the drunk scene in the movie. They felt that it was slowed it down, but the director fought for it. And, of course, now it's a very famous scene in the film where Daniel kind of realized what this man had gone through, and this man's willing to help him, being a war veteran and things like that. It's funny how the studio thought that. But I like that scene too. You know, in the movie, I think it's funny how the studio was gonna cut the movie.
Character developing.
Elizabeth Shue almost wasn't in the film because she was going to school, but she decided that she would take a semester off and be in the movie. That's good, because otherwise they would have had someone else play that part. Was she in Back to the Future also, Elizabeth Shue?
Yeah, in part 2 and part 3.
Yep.
That's right. Yeah, she was in
the same. And Adventures in Babysitting.
I thought it was the same. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Thor.
Yep.
And Leaving Las Vegas. With Nick Cage.
Yeah, I knew she was in that.
Yeah.
Zabka, I didn't realize Zabka didn't know any martial arts. He was a wrestler. But he did pretty good.
Yeah. The other thing. Who hasn't tried to heal themselves with Mr. Miyagi hands? Come on. Everyone's done that. Slap their hands together and rub their hands together. I mean, come on. Okay to admit to it. Everyone's trying to do that. You know, that was another thing that came in this movie. And then, I like you the know, and now years later. And what?
The reference to that in season one.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's strange that now, years later, this movie has come back into the spotlight due to the success of Cobra Kai. And it's funny, a few years ago, when Cobra Kai first came out, I watched the trailer, and the movie looked like, or the TV show, I should say, looked like the most ridiculous train wreck you could ever see. But at the same time, you wanted to watch it. And that's how Cobra Kai has kind of been. It's a train wreck at times, but it's also really good at times. And you can't help but keep watching it. And now we're fixing it to start the fifth season, and we'll see where it goes. It's just interesting to kind of revisit these characters from the Karate Kid years later and where they've gone and where they've been. And the way they presented that first season where Daniel was the bad guy, not Johnny, that he was the innocent victim the whole time, gave you a different perspective on this movie, I guess. but credit to the writers in doing it that way, I would say. But it's good. Not that this movie ever went anywhere, but it's nice to see a new generation discovering it. I know I watched the first couple of films with my boys, and they kind of rediscovered the Karate Kid after seeing some of Cobra Kai. So I think that's a good thing. I think that's why Cobra Kai, or why the Karate Kid is a classic, because it stands the test of time. Almost 40 years later, it's still very enjoyable, fun little movie to watch that was an underdog itself when it came out in theaters with relatively pretty much unknown actors, but it found the success at the box office and obviously on television, home video years later, and still doing well in the public eye. We'll see what where these characters continue to go when Cobra Kai season 5 hits next week. I think it's next Friday. I can't remember.
Yep. Yeah. It's next week. I didn't think we had to wait till Friday. I thought maybe it was Thursday, but I could be wrong. I think it's like you said, Mark, it's so ridiculous. It's good. You know,
Friday, September 9th.
September 9th. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It is Friday. Can't wait, man. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is such a ridiculous show, but yet it's so watchable too, you know, at times. And, you know, it's got Peyton List in it. I'll just watch it for her.
That's true. It does have Peyton List.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ay caramba.
Ay caramba.
Don't worry long. She's 22. It's okay. She's just playing a high schooler. Even though you don't have your camera on long, I can sense you staring at me over there.
I think Daniel LaRusso, I can't think
he was 22 right when he now. Made Karate Kid.
It was 20. He was 22 as well.
Yeah. And he had a young baby face. Like,
yeah. He's like in his late 50s, but he still like look like he's aged well.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude has good genes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize he was 22. He made the Karate Kid. I thought maybe, you know, 16, 17 years old or something. But no, he was 22 and he made it. He was 22. And he was born in 61. So yeah, he will be 52 on November 4th.
Yeah.
Yep. So not too shabby. So, but yeah, Karate Kid, man, it's a fun movie. Good one to cover. And yeah, I think I give it a pretty solid. I think it holds up well years later. I give it a pretty solid A.
I think it's an A too.
I too concur.
What do you guys think about the sequels? Y'all like 2? 3 is pretty bad, admittedly. I mean, the guy who plays Silver is a terrible actor. He's honestly still a terrible actor, even in Cobra Kai. He's just not a good actor. 3 is just not very good. I'll watch 3 just simply because it kind of finishes the story of Daniel and everything up to that point, but it's not very good. But I really kind of like part 2. I like the whole idea of Return to Okinawa and the honor of Miyagi's uncle. Is it his uncle? And all that. And I really like the story it tells and his battle with Chosen. I like part 2. I really like the fight at the end where Chosen comes down the balloon thing and they're all popping and they're doing the little troll thing and Daniel has to fight back. I think it's really cool. You know, and it feels like it has higher stakes because it feels like life or death over the tournament. So, you know, I like the tension in part 2.
Yeah, part 2 is the only sequel I watched. I didn't see the other. I didn't see part 3, nor the one with Hilary Swank.
I never saw the one with Hilary Swank. That one I've never seen.
I saw it.
Yeah.
It's forgettable. I'll just say it's forgettable because I don't remember much about it.
And I saw the remake with Jackie Chan. That's actually, it's actually not a terrible remake. It's actually a pretty decent movie. You know.
I don't know. He's like, jack it off. It's kind of weird, you know?
Only if you make it
check
weird.
Check it on. Check it off.
Only if you make it weird.
It's like, couldn't they have come up with something else? Like, maybe, you know, he puts a shirt on the hook. And so Jackie Chan says shirt on, shirt off.
And I think I read somewhere that Jackie Chan swears he never saw the original when he made that movie. They had never seen it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
I mean, if that's who you're going to pick to replace Mr. Miyagi, I think that's who you have to pick.
Yeah, I know you make fun of the jacket scene, but it's really not a terrible movie. The fight at the end is exciting. You find yourself cheering when he wins. I mean, it's got its moments. But nothing beats the original, as usual with these things.
Yep.
But all right. Let's do some news. So no DC fandom this year. DC didn't say why. We all know that HBO Discovery are going through a lot of changes right now. I would think it's probably related to all that that's going on. And as they try to come up with a plan, you know, we mentioned last week that they pushed Shazam and Aquaman back, but Black Adam, as of now, is still scheduled for October release. And I really hope so, because right now it feels like the rest of the year is basically Black Panther, Black Adam, and Avatar. So if they move Black Adam out, it's like, man, there's only two more movies the rest of the year to really watch, you know? So I'm hoping that they don't move that film too, because kind of looking forward to seeing it. The Rock has been playing the damn movie up for like 5 years. It's about time we get to finally see what he's been working on, you know?
Yeah.
So no DC fandom, but that's okay. But there is good news. Harley Quinn has been renewed for season 4, so HBO is not canceling everything. So as Harley Quinn has been very popular, so we will get a 4th season of that show. So I guess there is some good news in all the darkness that's going on at HBO right now. Ben Kingsley is going to return as Trevor in the Wonder Man series. I kind of forgot they were making a Wonder Man series for Disney Plus. And so I guess Trevor will be back on that show. So we'll see. I don't know. I didn't mind his character so much in Shang-Chi. You know, he wasn't as annoying as he was in Iron Man 3. So as long as there's a purpose for it, I think it's okay. So the Star Trek 4 continues to have problems. Matt Stackham was signed on to direct. Well, he's backed off, and he's going to direct Fantastic Four for Marvel. So Paramount has no director again for Star Trek 4, which last I checked, they still don't even have any of the actors signed on either. So maybe it's time to give up on the Chris Pine cast doing any more Star Trek movies at this point.
Maybe they should just star Tom Cruise in it.
That's the best idea.
Because that's the only thing that's making them money right now.
Right. At Paramount, yeah. I mean, you got more Mission Impossible movies coming out. And
they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
And J.J. Abrams has moved on to, didn't he sign a deal with Warner Brothers? So also, I know Matt Reeves just signed a big deal with Warner Brothers, but I think J.J. Abrams did too a while back. So, you know, they've moved on from the studio. I think J.J. might have come back and done another Star Trek, because he had talked about it one time before. They never rolled out coming back, but he's done moved on too. So yeah. Poor Paramount can't, you know, but they're having a lot of success with their television format. You know, I've heard Strange New Worlds is actually really good, but I don't know. I canceled my Paramount Plus for right now because I haven't been watching it. So I'm like, why am I paying $5 for an app I'm not using? So, and I'm fixing to do the same thing with Peacock after I watch Jurassic World Dominion, since it's on Peacock. I'm gonna watch that, then cancel that motherfucker too.
So. Welcome to my world.
Damn.
Oh, well, I'll keep my Netflix for now. And Disney Plus, legitimately. Star Wars Andor is going to be out here in a few weeks, so got to watch that. But that's all the news this week. Not a whole lot. And that's okay. So next week on the show, what are you shit-eating smiling at, Matt?
Nothing.
Was Jackie flashing or something? You're busted. Oh, that was too easy.
Oh, man.
Turn the camera the other way.
No, I knew you were going to say something like that. Oh, man.
So next week on the show, man, it's Matt's birthday weekend, as he picked the movie, and we're going to have some fun with him, probably roast him a little bit and pick on Matt as we celebrate his birthday. And you got to be, man, how old are you going to be getting close to 40 yet, man?
36, man. I'm getting there.
Getting there. Man. So, Matt, man, what movie did you pick next week?
Man, I picked a movie from 1968, one of the best car chases ever to grace the big screen, Steve McQueen's Bullet.
Detective Lieutenant Frank Bullitt, some other kind of cop. Pity the guy he works for.
Lieutenant, don't try to evade the responsibility. In your parlance, you blew it.
What the hell is going on here? A high-speed pursuit? Two men are killed? An officer in the hospital? A witness almost murdered?
Captain Baker would like to have a word with you.
Now listen to me, Lieutenant.
All right, nail him. I want him written off.
Do you let anything reach you? I mean, really reach you? Or are you so used to it by now that nothing really touches you? You're living in a sewer, Frank. Day after day. With you, living with violence is a way of life. Living with violence and death.
The way Frank Bullitt's swinging, you know he's heading for a crash with that roar of official disapproval. But when some rare Chicago blood starts spilling in San Francisco, they hand Bullitt the mop.
Now, what went wrong, Lieutenant?
Who else knew where he was?
What?
Who else knew where he was?
What have you been implying?
Well, they knew where to look for him, and they used your name to get in.
Are you suggesting I disclosed his whereabouts?
You believe what you want. You work your side of the street, and I'll work mine.
It's the movie where all cop cliches can be traced back to. I think you're going to like it.
Cool, cool. I'm going to try to watch it tomorrow night before I get too busy in the week and get into my head. Cool, man. I'm actually looking forward to watching it. I've always liked Steve McQueen. I always felt like he's got a lot of on-screen charisma. In the few movies I have seen him in, I've always enjoyed. I've always felt like Leonardo DiCaprio is kind of a modern day Steve McQueen in some ways, and the choices he's made in his different roles and things. And so I think that's why I like McQueen's charisma too. So it should be a fun one to watch. And if it sucks, I'm going to tell you it sucks. No, I'm just kidding. No, I know it's a classic. I'm sure I'll enjoy it. On next week's show. Cool, man. Just be ready to be roasted, motherfucker. Cause man, it's going to be now.
Oh, I bet.
I don't think it's going to be to the level of Gone in 60 Seconds. Because we're actually watching a good film.
Oh, right. Damn.
Yeah, I was wondering roast. What was going with that. I was like, wait, what?
Roast.
Burn. This may be the first really good movie that I've picked for my birthday pick. Instead of a cult classic.
Roadhouse was like unexpected.
Painful.
Like, what? Where is this thing going? Why is this film okay? At first it's going to be like, hey, I'm going to help you improve this bar. And then the same guy who's come down to help and, you know, turn the bar upside down to the right direction ends up tearing people's throats out with his bare hands.
That's right, baby.
And they really are. They really are remaking that. It just went into production with Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm like, wow, this is real. Why?
What?
The movie shouldn't have been remade. The movie shouldn't have been made in the first place. Let's just be honest. So why remake it? You know,
I'm gonna forget you said that.
It's a terrible movie.
Oh, Matt, there's a. They've released some images of the new Hellraiser film.
I saw that. The makeup looks good.
Very dark.
Yes, very dark. I think I'm going to like it. I'm glad that it's coming out soon.
Well, Clive Barker's producing it, so.
Can't go wrong with that.
That is.
We'll see.
Yeah, producer doesn't always mean that all it's cracked up to be. Sometimes they're a producer only because they own the rights to it. Doesn't mean they're actually hands on the film, you know.
So. Mark, no one asked you.
I'm just saying, man. You know what? I'm just saying. You know what? You can just go eat you a Popeye's chicken sandwich, all right?
A Popeye's chicken sandwich.
That's right. Bringing back our little argument from the other day. All right. Well, that's all we got for today. TheRebelRadioPodcast.com, as always, for all your Rebel Radio needs. Thank you, as always, for listening, and continue to stay safe out there. And until next week, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long.
Remember, as always, just go there and do it.